Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Details continue to trickle out about last week's FBI raid on Donald Trump's Florida home. In addition to countless documents seized by agents, the former president is now claiming the Bureau took away multiple passports from his residence as well. I'll give you the latest on this craziness in tonight's Hold the Line. Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. So here's what we know. The FBI went in, dozens of agents, last week, and they went through for about 9 hours President Trump's home office, went through his residence, went through the archives, the storage areas of the Mar-a-Lago, and they took a whole lot of documents. And then there were some leaks to the press, allegedly from the FBI, about how it was nuclear information. Really? Just going to believe that? We're going to take their word for it? The fake news media that lied about Russia collusion for years? I don't think so. But there's something else that we have to look at now very seriously, the possibility of a federal indictment coming down against President Trump, despite what seems like clear politicized targeting. That won't slow down Merrick Garland's DOJ if they think they can get away with this. But Trump also told us that the FBI took his passports. This is from Truth Social. In the raid by the FBI of Mar-a-Lago, they stole my 3 passports, one expired, along with everything else. This is an assault on a political opponent at a level never before seen in our country. Third world. Now, for a lot of people, this is raising eyebrows because you don't take someone's passport. What happens in the legal process is that sometimes they will have you surrender your passport as a condition of bail. So I guess theoretically you could say, well, I'm not going to surrender, and then they keep you in jail until your trial. But that's only after charges are brought. There have been no charges brought against President Trump. And in fact, why would there be any charges against him? Let's think about this for a second. Does anybody believe that Donald Trump was looking through thousands and thousands of pages of documents taken in large boxes out of the White House from when he was president? Is there anything that Donald Trump himself was personally responsible for deciding what goes to the National Archives and what stays as part of whether it's his future presidential library or whatever the case may be? No, of course not. That's crazy. That would be absurd. But the more we look at this, the more we recognize that it seems that the initial explanation of this unprecedented raid on a former president's residence is, oh, just the latest in the Democrat cycle of anything to get Trump. The warrant has been released that allowed the FBI to seize, get this, this is from the warrant, any physical documents with classification markings along with any containers, boxes, including any other contents in which such documents are located, as well as any other containers, boxes that are collectively stored or found together with the aforementioned documents and containers. And then it goes on, information, including communications in any form regarding the retrieval, storage, or transmission of national defense information or classified material, any government and or presidential records created before January 20th, 2017 and January 20th, 2021, any evidence of the knowing alteration, destruction, or concealment of any government and or presidential records or documents with classification markings. Whew, that's a lot. Okay, here's the point, folks. Let's just take these one by one. First off, they're saying that they're looking for classified. Okay, well, that's interesting because Donald Trump is claiming publicly and has been all along that anything that he has that might still be marked classified, he declassified, which as president is his prerogative, or when he was president, he could do that. So what are we to make of this? Who's telling the truth? A lib media that hates Trump more than anything on the planet? Doubtful. And then there's this, the government records that they asked for over a four-year period, any government records or presidential records. So that's basically every document that the president has ever produced while he was in office. No, then, attorney-client privilege documents exempted from this. No executive privilege documents exempted from this. The FBI, it seems, went in there based on the warrant, which we actually just shared with you. The FBI went in there with the biggest dragnet imaginable to pull up as many documents as they could of all things and everything. Almost like maybe they were looking for more than just classified nuclear secrets. Maybe they were going for something with relation to January 6th, perhaps. Or maybe they wanted to take out of former President Trump's possession documents relating to the Russiagate scandal, the scandal, of course, being the lies told about President Trump to prop up a narrative of Trump-Russia collusion to steal the 2016 election, which was all total bullcrap. That's worth noting, though, that there's something else going on here. Trump's not the only one they're going after. Interesting timing, isn't it? NBC News with this headline, Rudy Giuliani informed he is the target of a probe into Trump's alleged election interference in Georgia. Almost like in the run-up to an election where the Democrats are about to get their asses kicked, all of a sudden, they're doing a Trump investigation. They're doing a Giuliani investigation. They're seizing congressmen's cell phones. That happened too last week. They're doing all this stuff. Kind of like an October surprise, but in August. Notice that? Big political implications from all of this, but they don't want you to focus on that. Oh, no, it's totally fine. No problem here. Nothing to see here. Just the facts. Blah, blah, blah. Garbage. Oh, and if that's not enough of a distraction from all this, they have all the usual suspects, and I mean suspect. Andrew McCabe, for example, former FBI Russia collusion liar in chief. Here he is telling everybody that the threat against the FBI is awful now. The big challenge is that the FBI is under so much threat. Watch.
Andy, how do you describe the threat level right now against the FBI?
Unprecedented. Never seen anything like this in my 21 years with the Bureau. You know, it's not completely crazy for individuals in the FBI to be subject of threats as a result of cases they're working. But this is a first time I've ever seen a broadside, all FBI personnel are considered a part of this reporting. It's just terrifying. You know, there are 56 field offices around the country. There's about 400 FBI locations total, including those field offices. So you're talking about a lot of people in a lot of different places and communities all around the country who are exposed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I get threats. No one's crying a river for me about this stuff. Maybe if they wanted us to calm the temperature down, which, by the way, would be a good thing. No one should threaten the FBI. No one should threaten anybody over these issues or over politics. It's also a violation of law, which is a bad thing to do. I actually support the rule of law. I actually support law enforcement. But I don't support Praetorian Guard nonsense where the FBI is being used to act like the Stasi of East Germany. That's not okay. And if they want us to believe that that's not happening, it would be a whole lot better if they didn't have the Russia collusion liars rolled out for everybody now to say, oh yeah, don't worry, you can trust us. And for example, here is Peter Strzok. Remember him with the text messages with his lover, Lisa Page, the whole back and forth over, we need to make sure that there's an insurance policy in case Trump were to win, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, here's Peter Strzok telling everybody that the American public should really trust the FBI.
Well, Joe, absolutely the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. You know, what's funny is I think back the year and a half that I spent with a team looking at Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. There was no concern. There was no outrage on behalf of any Republican as we used search warrants, as we went out and did a very invasive investigation to try and get to the bottom of what she did or didn't do. So it's not that the FBI is targeting any one side or the other.
He's lying to you, by the way. They gave unprecedented gentle treatment to Hillary Clinton about clear violations of classified protocol. She wasn't the president, folks. She couldn't declassify a damn thing. They let her have counsel sit in on all of her meetings with them. They gave people immunity. I mean, it was a joke what they did with Hillary. And she was guilty, and they didn't care. But they're lying to you, which is why they have Strzok, who's a lying hack for the Democrats, come forward to make the case. We'll have more on this with conservative commentator and candidate for Florida State Representative Ford O'Connell. We come back. Right now, I want to tell you about a great deal for my friends at My Patriot Supply. Look, punishing food shortages could be on the way. In Europe, farmers are protesting high fertilizer and fuel costs, which means they're going to cut production, which means you could see some serious food shortages in your near future. You want to avoid that? Well, prepare. Go to preparewithbuck.com. You'll find a special offer where you'll save $150 on a 3-month supply of emergency food from My Patriot Supply. Each kit has enough food for 3 solid months per person, providing over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. These kits last up to 25 years in storage. Go over to preparewithbuck.com today and save $150 on each 3-month kit you require. The kits ship free and they're amazing. Food shortages could really be coming, folks. Go to preparewithbuck.com now. Don't wait. Preparewithbuck.com. We'll have more Hold the Line in a moment. If the FBI intended to hurt former President Trump politically, their efforts are having the opposite effect. A new Politico Morning Consult poll found that 57% of primary voters would back Mr. Trump if he ran, and the primary were held now, a 4-point jump from the 53% who backed the ex-president in a mid-July poll. Here to give his take on the latest, conservative commentator and candidate for state representative in the state of Florida, Ford O'Connell. Man, Ford, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, my friend.
So what's your take on this one? I mean, obviously, you're up on the political scene, and you're a man involved in politics down in Florida. This raid happened in Florida. You know Trump. You know his whole world, the people around him. And it feels like what to you after this raid in terms of his likelihood of running for president again and the support that he has?
Well, look, let's start with the raid. Look, this was an unprecedented abuse of power by the Biden administration. They are weaponizing government agencies against the former president, which has never happened in the history of our republic, and also likely the future 2024 nominee. Remember this, Buck, this is the third time the FBI and the DOJ have interfered and meddled in our elections in recent years. In 2016, you got Russiagate. In 2020, you got Hunter Biden's laptop. Now you have this. I think this only galvanizes Republican support behind Donald Trump. And frankly, I think it's very likely he's going to be the 2024 nominee.
And when people say to you, hey, but the FBI claims that there are super secret documents, nuclear documents even. Now, that's not the FBI saying it. That's reported in the press. But apparently from FBI leaks, if you can believe the fake news media. So when someone says you should trust the FBI at this point on a matter like this, what do you say?
Look, the FBI has destroyed itself over the last several years by putting its finger on the scale and playing politics. In a lot of ways, it needs to be defunded in the sense that it needs to be restructured. And you know, as being an FBI guy, that it needs to be restructured so that you have the equal application of law, regardless of party. We need to restore faith in the FBI. And the higher ups in Washington, D.C. are destroying that faith. And unfortunately, if we can't have faith in federal law enforcement, this is a case, once again, of the Biden administration destroying the rule of law in this country.
I was a CIA guy for it, but FBI, CIA, three-letter agencies, all of our credibility in those places has been trashed in recent years. So, you know, it's tomato, tomato at this point. But here's Pelosi, speaking of the FBI, on the raid. Watch this one.
I think what is important now is to know the seriousness of what these documents were about, alleged to be about. We don't know. Well, hopefully we'll see more, but we don't want to see too much more because that might endanger our security. So when we talk about this, there are laws against the improper handling of this material. There are laws against that. And the and we have to recognize that. This information, as it is coming across, and we'll know more later, is highly classified, well above top secret. It is, again, higher than top secret. It's top secret SCI. It is, it's about our national security.
I mean, isn't it amazing watching Nancy Pelosi here talk about the laws around classified? It's like watching a grizzly bear try to ride a unicycle without a seat. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right, Buck. It's rank hypocrisy. Where was Speaker Pelosi during Hillary Clinton's server? Where was Speaker Pelosi when it came to the national security threat of Hunter Biden's laptop? This is once again where Speaker Pelosi just decides to play politics when it's convenient to her narrative. And let's just step back from it. This whole narrative is designed to disqualify Donald Trump for running in 2024 and to cause chaos within the Republican Party. And I hope that the rank and file establishment leadership in Washington, D.C., whether it's Tim Scott, whether it's John Cornyn or Mitch McConnell, they need to stand strong with Donald Trump, because if they can do this to a former president, they can do this to anyone.
Now, do you think at this point the Merrick Garland DOJ is willing to actually press a federal indictment against Donald Trump? And if they do, whether you think they will or not, Ford, what do you think the former president's response to that's going to be?
Look, Merrick Garland, and as Attorney General in the Biden DOJ, is an existential threat to our constitutional republic. Do I think they're going to try for indictment? Absolutely, they're going to try, because the January 6th farce didn't give them what they needed. And given that they impeached Trump over Russiagate nonsense, the Ukraine farce, of course they're going to try it. But Donald Trump knows that if he stays strong with the truth and the facts, he's eventually going to prevail, and he's very likely going to be the president in 2024.
Why don't you tell us, Ford, also switching a little bit of the political gears here for a moment, about your own race down there in Florida? Where and what are you running for? What do folks need to know?
I'm running for a state house, District 77 in Southwest Florida. This is a new district that has basically come about because of redistricting. I am the conservative candidate, the Trump candidate, who's running against, how shall I say, the establishment chamber of commerce, the candidate, the very people that are basically pro-amnesty, pro-China, and destroying this country. We have to remember, the establishment of both parties, whether Republican or Democrat, are the existential threat to America and long preserving our constitutional republic.
You think the Florida miracle is going to continue on with Governor Ron DeSantis? I mean, I'm hearing now from more and more Republican governors who are saying they've seen what's gone on in Florida in the last few years. They want to try to replicate it in their states. They want to bring Florida to the other red states.
Well, Ron DeSantis, there's a reason why Ron DeSantis is America's governor, because he's trying to make Florida the envy of the nation. And as you saw with the Parental Rights Act, once we passed and beat up Disney and actually passed that law through 17 other states, picked up that law. You're right, Buck, that Florida is the beacon of freedom for the rest of the nation, particularly with the Republicans locked out of Congress. But I will say that what is holding up Ron DeSantis from turning Florida into something truly special is our Republican-controlled state legislature that is very, how shall I say, Liz Cheney establishment, and not following the governor in terms of the blazing path that he's leading.
Ford, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Take care.
About 20,000 Russian soldiers find themselves in a precarious position in Ukraine, with Ukrainian forces and a river on both sides of them. We'll have more on that with senior fellow at the Foundation for Defensive Democracies, Bill Roggio, coming up. Right now, let's talk about Built Bar. I love these things. I ate two of them today, to be honest with you. That's how much I love them, all right? Built Bars are high protein, low carb, low calorie, low fat. They taste amazing. When I first tried them, I was blown away. They're actually good for you. And they're gluten-free and keto-friendly. So I'm gluten-free, so I love these things. They're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs and provides tons of health benefits. Plus, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. And they've got amazing flavors. Coconut, salted caramel, cookies and cream, churro, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, banana cream pie. The list goes on. Built Bars taste better than candy bars. Trust me on this one. Go to Built.com. Get some today. Eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Built.com. When you use my promo code BUCK15, you'll get 15% off your order. Built.com. Promo code BUCK15. Bill Roggio up next. Approximately 20,000 Russian troops in the southern city of Kherson are currently in a dangerous situation, caught between an advancing Ukrainian army and a river that they have very few ways of crossing. Daily Mail reports Ukraine has already blown up all three bridges under Russian control connecting the two banks, meaning its soldiers on the west side have no easy way of resupplying, reinforcing, or retreating as Kyiv's men continue their advance. So could this end up being something of Putin's Waterloo, or is it much ado about nothing? Joining me now to discuss, senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Bill Roggio. Bill, make sense of it all, sir. What's going on here?
Hello, Buck. Yeah, it's certainly worth watching here. The Russians have, the Ukrainians have employed the U.S. rocket systems to good effect in the south, and they've damaged the Russian supply lines. It's difficult for them to resupply without these bridges, but not impossible. The official that made the statement that the Russians were surrounded, that the Russians were in retreat, you know, I think this is a bit of bombast from the governor of the southern province, where for the Ukrainians, and even the Ukrainian Defense Ministry said it saw no evidence that the Russians were withdrawing, and was and the Ukrainian Defense Ministry has been very, very optimistic in its assessments. And when I see them dialing it back like this, I'm wondering if it is quite as bad as that Daily Mail Daily Mirror article made it out to be. I have a feeling the truth is somewhere in the middle. The Ukrainians have hurt the Russians in the south, but they've been advancing at a very, very slow pace in this theater. And the Russians still have an advantage in artillery and aircraft and other firepower. So I think it's going to be, you know, I suspect it's the Russians won't be pushed back to the river quite so easily by the Ukrainians.
Daily Mail is reporting, as we just were discussing, that Russia has, quote, abandoned 20,000 troops near Kherson in the face of this counter attack. You're saying, it seems, Bill, that it's not so clear cut as that, right? So here's a Ukrainian combat medic giving updates on how the help from the U.S. and other countries have helped them slow down Russians. Watch this one.
Over the last week, the Russians have intensified the shelling, he said. But he added, because of the supply of high-precision weapons from Western allies, the Russians have not advanced at all.
So is there something different right now in terms of the on-the-ground realities as a result of U.S. and NATO support to Ukraine? Are they able to take the fight more to the Russians than they previously had been able to?
I think the more advanced weapon systems have helped the Ukrainians slow down the Russians in the Donbas. And it all depends on what theater we're talking about here. In the Donbas region, the Russians are still crawling forward, but taking territory. I'm seeing reports, you know, from, you know, when you see anecdotal reporting, like from that medic, I've seen reporting from others on other fronts saying, this is terrible, we're still outgunned. I'm seeing reports, you know, so it varies from region to region, even person to person from where they're providing support. But to your bigger question, I think the U.S. weapons and the Western weapons are helping to the Ukrainians to slow things down. I don't think they're at the point now where they could take advantage of these weapon systems and go on the offensive. That's I think that's a bridge too far. You need a lot of armor to do this. You need a lot more artillery than the Russians have. You need trained personnel. One of the things that the Ukrainians have been depleting in defending the Donbas region. In the south in Kherson, the Russians are starting to send reinforcements there. So that's going to make an advance in the south much more difficult. But it's going to make it more difficult for the Russians to advance in the Donbas because they don't have an unlimited supply. So it's never a zero-sum game when looking at this. You have to look at all of the theaters and see how the flow of the weapons, of the material, the men, how this is all being positioned by each side. The Russians have a numerical advantage. They have a significant numerical advantage in hardware, particularly artillery and aircraft. But the Ukrainians have more precise weapons right now, but they only have a limited supply of them.
Also, switching gears, but still, of course, because we're talking to Bill Roggio on national security, we're at the one-year anniversary, Bill, as you know, of the Taliban straight up taking over in Kabul and becoming the government of Afghanistan, not even de facto. They are the government of Afghanistan. You tweeted this out on the Afghanistan withdrawal under the Biden regime. NATO countries were furious with the unilateral decision to leave, the lack of consultations with the decision-making process, and the chaotic process of withdrawal that left their citizens and Afghan partners trapped in Afghanistan. When people say to you, as the Biden administration right now, for example, is putting out a memo, and even some Democrats are shaking their head at it, essentially saying, look, we did a good job, we're out, you know, no big deal. When you're faced with that, what's your response if you're assessing how this withdrawal went down?
Yeah, the Biden administration refuses to take any responsibility for its actions in withdrawing from Afghanistan. I stopped reading Trump, the word Trump, after about 15, counting it 15 times. Its entire reason for existence is to blame everything that happened in Afghanistan after President Biden made the decision to withdraw on President Trump. He was, you know, no one was more critical of Trump's negotiations and then signing the deal with the Taliban. It was a terrible decision by President Trump. But President Biden was under no obligation to live up to this agreement. He could have discarded it. I understood the need to withdraw from Afghanistan or the desire to withdraw from Afghanistan. But President Biden could have instituted a policy of leaving slowly to give the Afghans a fighting chance and reorganize themselves. You know, it's very involved in what would have to happen there. But instead, he just pulled the rug out from the Afghan government. Gave them no opportunity to reorganize, to defend themselves, and essentially assured that there would be a Taliban victory, all while doing things like abandoning Bagram Air Base that could have been an evacuation. Or if we had stood up an alternate to the Taliban, if we could have stood up the Northern Alliance 2.0, there would have been ways to continue to fight the Taliban, to continue to fight Al-Qaeda, and to allow American citizens and the citizens of allied countries, as well as Afghans who partnered with us, to flee to these areas to get safe haven. Instead, he withdrew, and the collapse happened immediately. The administration is completely tone deaf on this, and it's not shocking to me that even Democratic congressmen are shaking their heads over this one.
Bill, what is the situation in Afghanistan today, just so everyone understands? And if you were to give an overview of 1 year after the Biden withdrawal, what do things look like?
It's an absolute nightmare for the Afghan people, first of all. They are living under the Taliban rule just as it was pre-9/11. Taliban are enforcing its harsh version of Sharia law. Women can't go to work. They can't travel outside the home alone. Girls can't go to school. Anyone who supported the Afghan government, military, police, government officials, they're being rounded up. They're being hounded, threatened. Many are being killed or beaten. And most importantly for us in the West here is Al-Qaeda has regrouped. They never left Afghanistan, but not only that, they've increased their presence. The U.S. killed Ayman al-Zawahiri, the head of Al-Qaeda, in Kabul. He was being sheltered by a top leader of the Afghan Taliban. He's one of their two deputy leaders, as well as their interior minister. So the Taliban are sheltering the top leadership of Al-Qaeda. President Biden said when he justified the withdrawal that Al-Qaeda was done. And less than 1 year later, Al-Qaeda's top leader, who's been in charge for 11 years since the death of bin Laden, pops up in Kabul and we kill him. And then it's being celebrated as a victory. Well, you can't have it both ways. This is extreme gaslighting by this administration.
Donald Trump, President Trump, weighed in on Truth Social on the one-year anniversary of the Taliban takeover. This was his take, Bill. The Afghanistan disaster of exactly 1 year ago was the most embarrassing, incompetent, and humiliating event in the history of the United States, not the fact that we left. I was one that got our soldier count down to 2,000 in preparation for leaving, but the way we left, taking the military out first, 13 dead soldiers with many badly injured, leaving many Americans behind, and giving the enemy over $85 billion worth of the best military equipment in the world. So sad. Indeed, Bill. Looks like the former president's on this one. Thanks so much, as always, for being with us, man. Good to see you.
Thanks, Buck. Always a pleasure to join you.
Despite a mountain of data showing vaccine mandates are ineffective at preventing the spread of COVID-19, New York City maintains its mandate on businesses and city employees. When we come back, we'll talk to one officer who was forced to choose between the vaccine or retiring from a 15-year career with the NYPD. First, I want to talk to you about protecting your online data. A lot of companies promise your privacy is guaranteed, but we know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communications based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland. Look, privacy is a big issue now, but Secure will never mine your data and never ask for your phone number. Secure is your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. Costs only $5 for the messenger, only $10 for the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. We'll be right back with more. Hold the line. Despite a mountain of evidence that shows the mRNA vaccines offer little protection when it comes to the spread of COVID-19, New York City Mayor Eric Adams stubbornly refuses to lift the city's vaccine mandate on businesses and city employees. Included in that mandate are the men and women of the New York Police Department, many of whom have been forced to choose between taking the vaccine or early retirement. In a time of rising violent crime and recruitment shortfalls, you'd think retaining good cops would be a priority for the city, but apparently clinging to an ineffective vaccine policy is more important to the powers that be. One of those officers is Daniel Kronmeyer, a veteran of the NYPD whose request for a religious exemption was rejected late last month. Jamie Kronmeyer, Daniel's wife, explained the situation on her Substack, writing, "After 15 years of dedicated service to the city of New York, physical injury, sickness, countless missed holidays, birthdays, and important events, my husband was told he had 7 days to get a COVID-19 vaccine, retire, or get fired." That officer, Daniel Kronmeyer, joins us now. Daniel, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Just before we get into this, so everyone understands your background and what's at stake here, up until July, you were an NYPD detective specialist with the Emergency Services Unit. Can you tell us a bit about your 15-year career and what ESU is?
I started like anybody else on patrol. When I had enough time in patrol, I applied to be in ESU. And what ESU consists of is kind of unique to New York. We handle special rescues, as well as, you know, like typical SWAT stuff you would see, in other cities. So anything from like car accidents and suicidal people hanging off of bridges or buildings or, and then technical rescues, people just, construction accidents, stuff like that.
So tell us about this. I mean, what was the NYPD policy on vaccines? I assume it was rolled out about a year ago. How did it start and then how did it progress over time?
So it came out, I believe it was like September it was announced. And you had till the end of October to either comply or put in for a medical or religious exemption. And then that went through some, legal proceedings. It was kind of solidified, I believe, by like December. The NYPD sent out all of their denials in, February. And then the appeal process to the city proceeded right after that. And then it's been slowly trickling out to, not just NYPD, but all city employees that put in for these exemptions. And I'm sure there's still more that they're going through.
So what do we have some sense of what exemptions they were willing to give? Do we have any sense of those numbers? I mean, I'm just wondering, either anecdotal from just people you've talked to in the department, or if there's some official number, what would they accept as an exemption from the vaccine mandate?
It's from people that I know that were approved or denied. We're all spectrum of religious backgrounds and beliefs. And it didn't, it seemed kind of arbitrary, from my perspective, that, who was getting approved and who was getting denied.
Absolutely. So your official retirement doesn't take effect till the end of August, the end of this month. So
correct.
Why did you choose to retire early instead of accept this mandate and take the vaccine, Daniel?
Aside from the kind of scientific or lack of scientific, studies or whatever, just something that I believe and feel that was not right for myself and for my family. It's something I feel a conviction about that was against what I believed in.
I'm just wondering, has there been any support internally, even if it's not official support, for you from some of your superior officers, other people inside the bureaucracy? Have they come forward to you and said, hey, look, I know this is the policy, but I think this is nonsense too. I think this is wrong. Or are the brass pretty much all on board with it?
No, I think it goes across the entire spectrum. There's definitely people that, believe it's right for them. And I have, supervisors and people that I work with that were waiting for their denials or approvals as well. So I think it went across all ranks and positions.
How many other officers are being forced to make the same choice as you are? I'm just wondering, how many other people are still either waiting to get word back about their exemption request? Give us some sense of the numbers, if you can.
So my understanding is the numbers are pretty, kept, close to the chest. City. I believe in October, the numbers were like 8,000 people that put in for exemptions. In February, I think they said the number was about 6,000. I don't know how many of those that they've gone through. But I believe that, the city or the department was willing to take a risk of how many would actually leave. I think it was a calculated kind of number that they'd be acceptable to them.
So I assume this was a directive that came down from the mayor's office. Is there any effort underway to try to appeal directly to the mayor's office to say, I'll just tell you, Daniel, I'm advocating openly for not only people to not have to deal with what you're dealing with, this decision, which I think is outrageous, but the reinstatement, for example, of anyone from the National Guard, anyone from first responders, police officers, et cetera, across the country who lost their jobs over this. Is there any push to get word to the mayor's office that the science simply does not support these kind of mandates?
I don't know. I know. As far as from the exemption process, none of that really matters. It's held on what your strong religious or medical condition is. That's your reason that you were denied or approved. It had nothing to do with science and if they believed it worked. It's whether your conviction was that or you were medically needed that exemption. Hopefully, with current scientific trends that they realize that this isn't necessary and that it all goes away and gets reversed, but I don't know.
Just wondering, between this mandate and the rise in crime and the it seems dereliction of duty from particularly prosecutors in New York City, what's morale like among NYPD officers right now?
The guys that like overtime are probably doing really well, but I would say it's pretty low. Morale itself is pretty low.
Well, Dan, God bless you and your family. Appreciate you coming on to share your story so people can know that these are decisions that folks like you who have sworn to help the public, to support the mission, are facing day in and day out still, which just strikes me as total madness. But you're a man of principle. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Seems like the media is constantly trying to tell us how delicious insects are, but are you ready for bug cake? Got video for you in Quick Hits. Stay with us. The media continues its obsession with getting us to eat bugs. Yeah. Kamala Harris's latest word salad is amazing. Kamala is amazing in so many ways. Those stories on Quick Hits, let's get to it. First of all, look, folks, I'm all about trying different kinds of cuisine. I'm all about, you know, eating delicious food. I think it's a great idea. What I'm not all about is being told to eat bugs to save the planet. If you think that crickets dipped in chocolate are delicious, go for it. But there are limits, right? I would think. And here's a team of scientists at Belgium's University of Ghent who made cake from butter from bugs.
All this cake needs is flour, eggs, and 20 grams of dead insects. No, you haven't misheard. A team of scientists at Belgium's University of Ghent are trying to find a way to substitute dairy in cakes, cookies, and waffles. They say deriving grease from insects is more green than dairy production. By soaking the insects in a little bit of water and then mushing them with a kitchen blender before centrifuges separate a butter-like substance, a grease is made which the team used to bake with. The team say that consumers can't taste the difference when a quarter of the milk butter is replaced with the fat from the insects. But they start to notice when it gets to the halfway mark, so who knows? One day you could be munching on a cockroach croissant as you head to the office, or making your nearest and dearest a beetle birthday cake.
He said cockroach croissant. I mean, gross. And then there's this, a different situation. Not a croissant, but a salad. A word salad, if you will. Kamala Harris is the vice president, which is fascinating because this means that allegedly, or apparently, theoretically, she's supposed to be ready at a moment's notice to take over the presidency. And yet, when she speaks about things, it leaves everyone scratching their heads, not as if they disagree, not necessarily because they disagree or anything else, because they say, what the heck is she talking about? And here's a great Kamala-ism. Watch this.
We know that we really are quite behind in terms of maximizing our collective understanding about how we will engage on the technology of today and what we can quickly and easily predict will be the technology over the next decades. So to maintain our position as the United States of America on this issue, it is critical that we work together to understand where we are, to recognize and have the courage to speak truth about what is obsolete, and then to partner to ensure that we are speaking the same language with the same motivation, inspired by the opportunity of it all, but then doing the work of updating how we have been talking and thinking about our exploration in space.
I mean, seriously, what the hell is she talking about? It's amazing, isn't it? We're just doing the things that are other things, and then circling back with the things we've thought and spoken about that are things that we're doing, looking forward, not looking backward, while making it circular. And then there's this, the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, who has tested positive for COVID-19. I would like to let you know, this is CEO of Pfizer, that I have tested positive for COVID. I'm thankful, the genuflection, of course, to have received 4 doses of the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine. I'm feeling well while experiencing very mild symptoms. I'm isolating, having started a course of Paxlovid. I saw a comment today that this is like the CEO of Trojan Condoms telling everybody, I'm so thankful that while my wife is pregnant and I used 4 condoms, it would have been worse had I not used the 4 condoms. While my wife is pregnant. Sure. Then there's this PA Senate candidate John Fetterman saying this at a recent, sounding unwell at a recent speech. Watch.
And you can count on us to eliminate the filibuster if you come out and step with us. We will be able to stand with you in D.C. I gave away the lieutenant governor in Pennsylvania, the only lieutenant governor in the history to do that. And let's Let's get some stuff done for America. Who would ever think that I would be the normal one in the race here? Yeah, with that.
That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News with Bill O'Reilly is next. Shields high.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.